Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 506, the box office report. Not box office report, yeah. Whatever the hell we're calling it.
Liar.
Yes, for the week ending September 8th, 2019.
Woo!
Before we get too far afield, let's go around the table. Everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go rate, review, subscribe. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers while you're there. People who were kind enough to share the show this week. Lane LeVanway, Zara Vandercreek, Chris Sanders, Chris Brown, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Tom Comiskey, Griffin Fox Smith, Susan Carlson, Travis T. Witt, Dylan A. Lang, Timmy Two Zunes, Richard Lawson, Ron Johnson, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Librarian Cynthia, Ralph Tribble, Aaron Marlowe, and Gabriel Lugo. So thank you very much for sharing an episode with
you're the best.
Your friends and family. And also don't forget, if you just want to take your support up to the next level, $5. That's the next level. That's not
that's
a
really
whole
not
lot.
That
That's not that much. $5. Patreon.com/realspoiler, where you will get bonus content and the joy of knowing that you helped out. So there's all that.
We've got a Quentin Tarantino retrospective where Joe and I go through his entire filmography leading up to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So go take a listen to that and let us know if you agree what your favorite Quentin Tarantino movies are. And we would love to have you there. And we appreciate everyone who supports the show on Patreon.
I think... I know the next Quentin Tarantino movie is supposed to be his last, right?
Supposed to be.
Yeah, he's 10 and done.
Right.
And I think he's just going to make TV shows for Netflix.
He might.
I think that's his end run, and it seems like his run times are getting longer. He's liking this idea of now there's the rumor that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has a longer edit.
Yeah.
That's going to be a TV show.
The Hateful Eight's already up there.
Yeah, like The Hateful Eight. Yeah. And then I guess Brad Pitt floated the idea that there's also like some sort of sequel thing they're working on that would live as a show.
Oh, really?
On a streaming site. I thought that's what I just saw the headline.
Man.
I didn't click through, so maybe I fell for clickbait. Except I didn't click. I
baited.
Yeah,
I didn't click.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wonder if that's his end run around that. Is
I could see that.
You know, especially as I don't know. Part of me says as it gets harder and harder to make non-franchise type movies, but yeah. He certainly seems to have become
his own franchise
when you look at the box office from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
I'll believe it when I don't see him make an 11th movie.
Here's the question though.
I think he'll make whatever seems like a good
opportunity. If he does Star Trek, does that count as 10?
Yeah.
Why?
Why did Jackie Brown count?
Because it was an original property.
No,
that's based on a book.
Yeah,
Elmore Leonard. I would say
if he writes the screenplay, it counts. If he doesn't write the screenplay, then it's just work for hire.
I would agree with that.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
He's talking about it's directing movies. It's not directing movie. I mean, you can spin it however.
Well, do you
want,
consider a cop out a Kevin Smith movie?
Sure.
No way.
Well, I mean, I consider any movie directed by someone that type of movie.
Even if he didn't write it?
Yeah, he's directing the movie, yeah.
Okay. I don't count Cop Out as a Kevin Smith movie at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Kevin Smith movie. There's nothing about that that...
Yeah.
Said, I mean...
A lot of movies don't feel like Kevin Smith movies anymore,
no, they
though.
They all feel like Kevin Smith movies. That's the problem.
well, but that's evolving. That is a constant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy. I mean, there was a feel to a Kevin Smith movie.
Sure.
But now a Kevin Smith movie can
no, there
be...
There was a sound to a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
There's not a look. To a Kevin Smith movie.
Right. Yeah. But you still feel
poorly
it. I mean,
lit?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a look.
But you still feel it with the characters and the writing. But it's like now, you know, Tusk versus, you know, Red State versus the Yoga Hose. Like,
yeah.
It's just evolving so much to where now, I mean, and that generally is a good thing. Like, I mean, and when you think of movie directors who can pretty much do any genre, I mean, there's a lot of directors out there that, you know, like Michael Mann or even Spielberg can do, you know, these adventure movies or these serious movies. I mean, there's a lot of directors that are versatile. Kevin Smith hasn't quite reached the level to where it's like he's making amazing in all these genres. But you know, his voice is different now. It changes. So yeah, it's a lot harder to put your finger on what that means in
yeah.
a Kevin Smith movie, but I don't know. I just feel like if a director directs a movie, I mean, whether they write it or not, they're the ones there supposed to be telling people how to act and how to emote, and they're directing the people. So I just feel like you're putting your influence and spin on the movie as a whole. So I
get what you're saying. I guess I just look, when it comes to somebody like Tarantino,
He's an auteur.
There's a difference between a property that he might have directed versus a movie that he has his hand in every part of.
Well, I also don't think he would direct a movie he doesn't write. I mean, even though Jackie Brown's adapted, he still wrote it.
He wrote it, yeah.
So I don't think he would not write.
Yeah.
I guess to my point, I didn't think about it that way, but I do not think he will ever direct a movie he doesn't.
Well, and I didn't know how much they'd let him control
the script of a
Star Trek.
Then I don't think you'd get a Star Trek.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like him to direct one.
Especially because there's so many other properties versions of Star Trek that it needs to be aware of and work within that context.
And he already did write it.
Yeah.
The script's done.
Oh, is it?
He has written the Star Trek.
You should have just started with that.
I didn't know you didn't. Yeah, anyway,
I didn't know.
His Star Trek script is done.
Gotcha. So, I'm not a Star Trek guy, so I don't care.
And not to say they couldn't always be, if he wanted to, they could still present him with another script and be like, you're going to direct this.
Right.
But he would say, no, this is what.
Or maybe they make his script, but he doesn't direct it.
Interesting. Yeah.
He's done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd
twice,
be weird,
think, right? Like he did Natural Born Killers and True Romance.
Yeah, he did the script doctor stuff. Like,
well,
Crimson...
he sold off the Natural Born Killers. That was a script he had laying around that he sold off. Because I think and True Romance was the same way.
Yeah.
He sold off that script to fund Reservoir.
So apparently, he wanted to direct True Romance, and I think that they screwed him. I think somehow. He entered some deal.
Well, the word
he was going to direct it, and they're like, "Nope."
What I heard from doing research for our show was that he had the script for Reservoir Dogs and True Romance, and he gave them both to Tony Scott and said, "Which one do you want to direct?"
Oh, okay.
And
that
Tony Scott
be.
Chose True Romance, and so Quentin did Reservoir Dogs. I heard it could have gone either way.
Gotcha.
He had those two scripts, and he was going to.
I think it went the right way.
Uh huh.
What's that?
I think it went the right
way.
Yeah, I don't think we
talked about that.
Yeah,
I
don't know that he would have been.
It would have been a different movie.
I don't know that he'd been capable of directing True Romance at that point.
Probably not.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he hadn't directed... I mean, that's a much bigger movie in scope, right?
There's a lot going on where Reservoir Dogs is contained.
I mean,
so
Reservoir Dogs is, I mean, is like this close to being a stage play.
Oh, yeah.
You could
absolutely.
Do,
they've
you
done it, I think.
Have that? I was like,
sure,
yeah, you could easily do that as
there
a stage play.
There are productions
play.
Of...
Yeah, where True Romance is much more sprawling.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And that's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
I love True Romance. I think it ended up perfectly because we talked about the... Obviously, we talked about all of them on the Patreon episode, but I discovered Reservoir Dogs after seeing Pulp Fiction, you know, and because that's just the time of my life. I was not old enough at the time when they came out, and so I found Pulp Fiction, and then I went back to Reservoir Dogs. I'm like, this is really freaking good. Like, I bought it on a whim, kind of like I found it at Walmart in the $5 bin.
Yeah,
just bought it, of course, you know, and I'm like, well, it's $5, whatever, even if I don't like it.
Totally.
Popped it in and was like, this movie's great.
So anyway.
Do we have news, or we just
that's Patreon?
Oh, okay.
Well, I do. I don't know if you gents have any news, but the big one was that Joker won the top prize at the Venice Film Festival. We talked about it last week in the news. I mean, it won the major award there.
What a weird world we live in.
Yeah.
I mean.
But so did Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
He won an award there, too.
Well, yeah. Right. He took the runner-up prize, right?
So,
But again, it's like we talked about that. I'm not enjoying talking about that. But, I mean, people still, for some reason, give him clout. And it's we know Roman Polanski's a capable director.
Sure.
So the
sure.
point is, he didn't win it as a popularity award. Like, yeah. whether or not we like him, and you should think he's a piece of crap, but he still has made Rosemary's Baby and
Chinatown.
And China, I mean, the guy is a capable director. So when he wins an award, you're like, okay, but this is Todd Phillips' Joker movie won the top prize at the Venice right. Film Festival. So I think that there is still, you know, the Polanski stuff aside, like, I'm trying not to get too overhyped for this movie, but ever since the casting and then the first teaser, I've been excited. This is my number one anticipated movie.
I think
yet to come.
It's a shame that we got the Joker we got in Suicide Squad.
Because that's 100% accurate.
Because I feel like as soon as they announced Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, you're like, yep, I don't know why this hasn't happened yet. Like, you know, you're coming off Heath Ledger.
But he's also such a an unusual man.
Yes, that's true.
Like, you know, while he might be great in this,
he wouldn't have done the Batman.
Is he going to stick around and do things like Suicide Squad?
No.
And I think the answer is no.
No. No. Maybe. I mean, comes down to the
I mean, there was a time when we would have said the same thing about Johnny Depp.
That's true. In the words of legendary wrestling broadcaster Jim Ross, it's all about the two C's.
Yeah.
Cash and creative. That's the bottom line. If they pay him enough cash and the creative is good, I have to believe he'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
And we don't even know where this movie.
We don't know if Matt
Reeves
is going to
be a standalone.
Even,
sure.
You know,
they might
have
not
no
know
clue.
Yet.
Right.
It might seriously deter this movie's success.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that DC Warner Brothers movies don't have a plan in place?
I hate to break it to you, Tom, but that is a possibility.
Especially after you get that trailer of Birds of Prey.
Oh,
where it's just like
that teaser trailer thing. Not that I cared, or it drove me to the theater.
Right,
but I feel sorry for any poor bastard that went out of their way to see it so they could see that teaser trailer in front of it.
The 1 second when you say teaser trailer,
yeah, like what
Which,
a joke.
I mean,
oh, what's up with all these red balloons?
Well, she said I'm tired of these effing jokers.
Well, whatever.
Effing clowns.
And it was like censored too. I don't even think she. I was like, I'm tired of these. Like, I didn't even hear it.
And you're going into an R-rated movie.
Just play the.
And it's
play
attached
the
to the movie. Yeah, like, it's right. not.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, right. It's not. It's a trailer that's like not like, oh, coming soon.
Yeah.
Right.
It's right in front.
Yeah.
But it was a worthless thing. Like,
totally,
I mean, they
worthless.
Touted it as being like, oh, there's going to be, it's not going to be online. It did end up leaking.
Of course it did.
Quote unquote leaking. But I mean, the HD copy before the movie came out, not a cam, but they said, oh, it's only going to be before it to see this thing. And it's like, seriously?
What was the Phantom Menace trailer attached to? Like the Phantom
Menace
trailer.
Oh, yeah, that did
was
a lot more
of
business. You're right.
Yeah,
whatever
right,
it was.
Right. I guess it's like very early in the internet.
People were buying tickets just
to
see
that
trailer.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I don't know. Like, it's too, she's too Deadpool-y for me. Like, they want her to be the Deadpool of the DC EU.
I think it's just attached to that terrible Joker. And
it
I
is.
Just,
that's the problem. And she, like,
help.
Here's the problem is we've talked about how good she is.
Yeah.
You know,
Margot Robbie is great.
And I don't know what that movie is going to be, which is fine.
They probably don't either. They're still sitting in an editing bay trying to figure it out.
Yeah, right, right. Can we be like Suicide Squad? And they're like, what?
But anything that reminds me of Suicide Squad and that terrible Joker. So when I see her and that tone, I'm like, that was built there. I just can't get a.
Phantom Menace was attached to Meet Joe Black.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters.
Yeah,
for that trailer.
And that movie is a snooze.
It's a slog.
Yeah.
Until, like, I love the end.
Until they finally met Joe Black. You're waiting the whole time.
Hit,
like, are we going to meet Joe Black?
They hit him with the car.
No, that's at the beginning.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was the end. You're just like, can we do that again?
Yeah.
Because that was great.
That's Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt.
And Claire Florini?
Oh,
from Mallrats.
She's
the girl from Mallrats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't really remember that movie.
It's for the best. Yep. He's death. Spoilers.
Oh. So
from a movie from 1997.
So my big concern now is, again, I'm trying to stay away from, I did get a trailer for the second trailer for Joker before this that I tried my best to ignore, but I'm trying not to get too hyped up for it, but I've already been excited for it, and then it wins this top prize and people keep talking about it, how great it is that have seen it. It's like,
who stands up and claps for 8 minutes?
Well, apparently that's short at the festival circuit.
I got it.
I'm seeing reports of 20-minute elevator. Not at this one, but
it's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. It's like, how? Yeah. Could you imagine?
No, I can't, because I'd be like, oh man, that was really good. All right, I'll see you later. Why? We got dinner reservations.
I can't imagine standing and clapping for anything for 20 minutes.
No, I just I cannot imagine.
When it goes on for more than like 40 seconds, I'm like, it wasn't that good.
I've never seen anything or heard anything where I was like, I'm just gonna stand here for half an hour.
Like, I feel bad when I'm at a play and they're right there. Yeah. They just did it. They heard it. Yeah. Like, when people, I mean, first off, at a film festival, like, that's a little different, but like, when we're at like a screening and people clap,
yeah,
I'm like,
they're not here.
They're not here.
Why
what
are you clapping?
What are you doing?
Weirdo?
Yeah.
I do feel, if they did it at a play, you could tell, like, the actors are like, yeah, Christ almighty. Like, yeah. I already called an Uber. Yeah, like, I gotta get out of this makeup. This costume sucks. Like, get me out of here.
What I think happens at a film festival is the credits roll. They clap throughout the credits because they're, like, waiting. And then the people start coming out. The director comes out on stage. Then they're welcoming in them. Like, I think it's like a clap that keeps going through the credits.
So here's the secret. You just make your credits like 20 minutes long.
Done.
See, and they clap all the way through.
Those Avengers movies?
And then it's like 20 minutes ovation.
It was so amazing. See? It is weird, though, when it's like, what a weird pedigree for a movie. Like, who wrote it?
Todd Phillips.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
So strange. So you've got a Scorsese produced.
Not Scorsese produced. What? He exited it very early on.
I thought he still got a producer's
I think
credit.
He
got
a credit, though. He had to get a credit on it.
I'm pretty sure he exited.
He may have, but I have to believe that if he did any work on that movie, he's going to get a
producer. He was developing it, and he left. I don't believe he has a producer credit. I could be wrong,
man,
but it was Todd Phillips and Scott Silver on the screenplay.
Okay.
And then, let's see, produced by, let's see if he's still on there. Bradley Cooper's on there. Todd Phillips, nope, no Scorsese.
Yeah,
he exited. I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember he left. I assumed he would. Yeah.
I don't think he wanted his name attached to it for some reason. I don't know why. But
I'm sure now he's gonna be like, oh, by the way.
No, I bet you he's still, because I mean, it's very similar to Taxi Driver.
Right.
Maybe that's what he didn't like.
Oh, maybe
is that they were going that they wanted him to turn that direction, and he's like, I'm not gonna sit here
I'm
and just
do it again.
Redo the same movie.
I did both of these movies already.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you're just taking two of my movies and smushing them together.
Yeah. I'm sure he had his reasons, obviously, and I didn't hear.
He was too busy
about
doing The Irishman.
Yeah. Didn't hear about it being contentious or anything, but I do remember that because I was touting it up. Like, I love Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. Those are two of my favorite.
I don't like King of Comedy.
Oh, I love that movie.
I love King of Comedy.
Man.
And where Jerry Lewis is playing Jerry Lewis.
They tried to get Carson.
Did they really?
Yeah.
For this? For
yeah, for
Joker?
This.
Yeah,
for
cool.
The Joker.
Cool, cool,
yeah.
Cool.
But I really, really love those movies. And so I was super excited about it. And then when he exited, I was like, I remember looking into it, like, to what extent? Because I'm like, wait a minute, but this is so Scorsese feeling, like, he's still somewhat attached, right? And then I'm like, no,
nope.
He completely exited. Huh. So anyway,
it's
but,
a weird. It's a weird time where the comic book movies have entered into, you know, obviously there've always been stories that could be on this level that have been written.
Yeah.
You know, anything by Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, Grant Morrison, any of those guys could have done something on this level, but it's just weird that here we are and there's talk of like this movie being nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess Ledger won. Would he have won had he been alive? Maybe.
I think so.
Probably.
It's a great performance, but
totally
I know it's
is.
Always been.
But you know, like, it's just, would he, you know, it's the question mark.
Yeah.
It's the asterisk on the wind.
Sure.
You know?
The asterisk?
So,
oh, I thought you said the asterisk in the wind. And I'm like, wow, that was very,
no,
like,
profound.
Yeah, that was
no,
very,
it's the asterisk.
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 Whatever. On the wind. Like
is it the wind beneath your wings?
It is not.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's just, you know. How long until now just like, oh, Matt Reeves as Batman is being nominated for Best Actor.
I just always feel bummed because Michael Shannon was up for against Heath Ledger for his role in Revolutionary Road.
Yeah.
And
oh,
like,
yeah.
I was not a big fan of that movie, but him in
that's
that movie
his coming out party
was amazing.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like he was the highlight of that film. And like, I was always kind of like, damn,
damn,
I would have liked to have seen him won that. But also, I have zero complaints about Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker won that. It's like
for sure.
That was really good, too.
Either way, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys had any other movie news, but that was the big one.
The Batman universe, Mahershala Ali apparently is the front runner for Jim Gordon.
Really?
Yeah. That's the rumor.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But
was that Cosmic Book News?
No, that was comicbook.com, which is, you know.
Because I know that is.
I will rail against Cosmic Book News every chance that I get.
Oh, we know.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not your favorites?
No, they suck. Oh. But yeah, so it'd be kind of interesting to see him. They're like, oh, yeah, you're our Blade, but you're also going to be Jim Gordon. Like, that's the way we're going to do this.
Yeah,
so
crossing over those universes, happen. So.
But like, that's one of those casting choices where it's like, yeah, that sounds great. As you know, even if he's commissioner, lieutenant, detective, I don't care.
Right.
Like Jim, I love the Jim.
It's
Jim Gordon
be early on. So.
It's crazy. Like I of course I love Batman, but I love more the supporting characters. So like Jim Gordon or Dick Grayson or Tim Drake. Like Barbara
Gordon. Well, we know.
All right.
What
love Dick? I get
it. Yeah, yeah, we know. You've made it very clear.
But
all
like,
you talk about.
I love like those characters more than the main the person you're supposed to like.
Right.
The center of this universe. I love the outlying characters more. And so like yeah, I'll take that dude as Jim Gordon.
Sure.
Bring it on.
I want that Nightwing movie. I really
Good
hope
luck.
That still
they
happens,
haven't earned a Nightwing movie.
Yeah, they haven't even. They showed a shot up Robin costume.
Yeah.
Far as they've gotten.
If they were going to give us a Nightwing movie, it should have happened immediately following
Batman and Robin.
The
Batman Forever?
No, the no. The what was the last Batman movie called? I'm blanking on it. The Nolan one.
Oh,
The Dark Knight Rises.
There we go.
Yeah.
With
Joseph Gordon.
They should have done it. They should have done it immediately
I'm
out
like,
of that.
What?
Yep.
After Batman Forever. Yeah. I don't think so.
Why? He was in that movie.
It couldn't have got worse.
Yeah.
But well, I guess that's all of that. Kevin, we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And it looks like congratulations to the movie of the day because It Chapter 2 is number one with an estimated $91 million?
Jesus Christ. Are you serious?
Wow. I mean, if my internet is correct. I mean, my abacus is correct here.
It is going up against nothing.
Yeah. And people love that first one.
Right.
And
but that's a huge
number.
I mean, for a horror movie, obviously, it's a very popular franchise.
Now they're trying to figure out how to get It Chapter 3.
Oh, yeah.
No
the
kidding.
Origin of Pennywise. That's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
But,
well, supposedly they had filmed a scene of that, but they didn't. I thought for sure it would have popped up in the second one, but it did not.
It did not. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
So alien. Now the opening weekend on the original. Do you guys know what that was?
Was it like 45 or 50?
It was a
123.
Oh wow!
Shut
so it
up,
went down.
Really?
So that's the thing is that I did not realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew the first was popular, but I didn't think it opened.
Did
that
it release
popular?
At the same time?
Roughly
September 8th. So yeah,
yeah, it's pretty close.
But geez, so 123 on the original, but still 91 million. I thought that was pretty darn good. So
it is interesting that it's lower.
Yeah,
and it was weird. Like they didn't screen it, which to me is always like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Now they did. They did promotional screenings. I heard.
Oh, they did.
But they didn't screen it here for critics. But friends across the country, other critic friends, they screened it for them.
There was like a company. I was like, friends across the country. Who's that?
You're thinking of us.
You're thinking of Hands Across America.
Hands Across America, yeah.
But yeah, so I thought that was crazy too, but they apparently did screen it, so I think that may have just been one of those weird local things where for some reason it didn't work out with that.
Huh.
But yeah, so 93, we'll see.
That's solid.
91, we'll see what ends up happening with word of mouth and everything because I think it's still getting pretty good word of mouth. We'll go into it on the next episode. But
I have to look, and I don't really know what they're saving for Halloween this year. Like Halloween, like horror movie releases. Mm-hmm. I have to look. I'm honestly, because there's no Halloween. Halloween's next year.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what's coming up as far as like big budget or Blumhouse stuff on the horizon. So it could have legs for a while.
I'm not sure either. So we'll see what ends up. I mean, yeah, it's obviously a good time of the year then with not a lot of other horror coming out before Halloween. So we'll see how long it lasts and we'll get an update next week. But successful for that, we'll get into it next episode. Number two, Angel Has Fallen. Like you said, there's not much out, so that one's still hanging on in week three.
That's insane that it's number two.
Number two, a 48% drop, $6.1 million. That puts Angel Has Fallen at $53.5 million domestic. I don't see any overseas yet. That is on a $40 million budget. So
it's barely
a win. I mean, it's limping. Yeah, it's like... It's
number two at the box office,
but
like, eh.
There's still... Now, I'm guessing when it releases overseas, I mean, action movies usually translate pretty well. So
sure.
I mean, I think
that shows you the importance of a release date.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Paul Blart all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I don't think, did anyone see?
I did.
You ended up seeing.
Yeah.
What was your verdict?
It was fine. It was just, I mean, it was a big dumb action movie.
Okay.
And like, I like Gerard Butler. I think when Gerard Butler doubles down and gets what he's doing.
Yeah.
I love that dude.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It was just like Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte is one of those dudes where it's just like, wow. Wow. Mm. I don't know what happened to Nick Nolte at any point, or like, you know how Jeff Bridges kind of doubled down on what was that?
I know what you mean.
What movie was that? Where he started doing that voice. He doubled down on that True Grit voice.
Yeah.
Where it's not his voice. Like, that's not what he sounds like. He just keeps doing it.
It's the mumble mouth.
It is the mumble mouth. Yeah. I feel like Nick Nolte has done the same thing, but that's actually his voice.
Yeah. I know what you mean. At some point, Nick Nolte went from like that.
It was the handsome
leading man to, I think it was before that, like, because he seemed to like kind of go away for a while, and then I remember he came back and everything was like that.
He sounds like he gargled glass.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't crazy. Was Crazy Heart before or after True Grit?
It was before, but it was like Crazy Heart and then True Grit pretty close.
Yeah, like Crazy Heart, then, like it's not all the way in. It's a little bit of that.
He locked
and then
it
True
in.
Grit, it like really amps up.
Right,
and then it was
right.
just
and then
like,
every movie, it was like R.I.P.D. He was talking like
right.
True Grit.
Now,
it's like,
it's just like when
you,
Madonna suddenly had an English accent.
Yeah, right.
And you're just like, what? Wait, what?
Well, by marriage. I
yeah.
think that,
oh, is that the way that works? Sexually transmitted.
That's voice.
Yeah, she has an STA.
STA, yeah.
Sexually transmitted accent, yeah.
Oh,
your big Halloween movie, I think, is Zombieland, October 11th.
Oh,
and then, but that's not even a traditional.
I know. And then, but then October 25th is Girl on the Third Floor,
which is starring former WWE superstar CM Punk. I got to tell you, though.
So not your
Halloween. No.
Oh, okay.
Go watch that trailer. Like, it looks bonkers.
You'll
in
never
the best
go
way.
To a third floor again.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
After that movie,
they're going to have to take out the 13th and the third floor.
Yeah.
One, two, four.
And then Dr. Sleep comes out.
Oh,
but that comes out the week after Halloween, which seems odd.
Why would you do that the week of?
Yeah, you would think.
Well, they're competing with the third floor.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be that big of a movie.
You know, the Overlook didn't have a third floor.
I did not know that. That's weird. They just took it out.
Yeah.
But
they spun it off in this whole other movie.
Right. Floor four, what is that, room 408? That's a Stephen King one, isn't it? With
oh, John Cusack? 14.
1408?
I think something like that.
But what's the room that the lady was in?
Is it 223?
237.
237?
Yeah, I think that's right.
227.
No.
That's where the ghost
it's not 227.
That's the ghost of Sherman Hemsley or something. Was
I'm pretty sure it's room 237.
487.
Because there was that interesting doc.
Yeah.
You ever see that documentary?
What's that?
So there's a room. There's a documentary called Room 237, and it's three different, I don't know if they're like film historians, but they all give different versions of like the meaning behind 237, like what that number means. Like one dude goes off on like the moon landing.
It's a clue that Kubrick filmed the moon landing.
It's a great doc, but he does go like, there are moments.
It's a masterclass in confirmation
it
bias.
Really, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
But they do, like, I will say with the moon landing, like when they start stating facts, you're like, now I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure they went. But you raise some interesting arguments about like shadows and things and like where like their shadows are compared to like where it should be. And I was like, damn it. I try not to. I like conspiracy theories because they're always fun until you get a little too deep and you're just like, you know, crap.
Yeah. I mean, they aren't. I just watched the one on Paul McCartney being dead.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Have you gone down that rabbit hole?
I mean, I've read about it.
It's
I haven't seen it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I
mean, Farley asks him point blank. Did you ever see that when Farley would do like his awkward interviews?
Oh, and he said, "Are you really?"
Yeah, he goes, "You know, on like whatever record it was, if you play it backwards, it says
right.
Paul is dead."
Right.
And he goes, "Is that true?" And Paul McCartney goes, "Nope." Nope.
But like, there's a great YouTube video. I don't know who made it, but I just stumbled down the rabbit hole of different things, and it went into the Paul is Dead, and it was like a 20-minute video, and it shows all the evidence of, you know, album covers, playing things backwards, different things at the end of tracks that say things and then playing them backwards. And these people were able to create an entire I mean, they have tons of evidence backing up that he's dead.
Yeah.
And that he looks different, his eyes are a different color. I mean, it is amazing. Like, but you, I mean, you know it's not true, but the evidence
there are
to
moments
it,
where it's like, oh man, maybe no.
Like, I was waiting at the end of the video for them to be like, and yes, it has been proven that he is, whatever. And at the end of the video, they're like, and none of this is true. And then they go into a quick thing about like how, yeah, it's just
that
this
was
can
like,
be disproved.
It was the Ultimate Warrior one's my favorite.
What's that one?
That,
no.
That, so like he left for a minute.
Okay.
And then he came back and he was.
Oh, but it was a different.
He was significantly smaller because he got off the gas.
Oh. Yeah.
So they're like, no. That's not the real one. Like the one that came back is like a new one because the old one died.
He could strangle people with his veins.
And Jim Helwig's like, no, it was always me. Now he's dead for real.
Yeah.
But yeah. Do you ever hear that? Did you see that?
What's that?
So like he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. He goes on Raw the next night and gives this pretty good promo, and basically the line is like, you never know when you're going to breathe your last breath or your heart's going to beat beat. Gives this insane promo. You're just like, oh Christ. Dies the next day.
Oh my God.
Like within a week he was dead.
Wow.
And it was just like, it's a very eerie moment where he's basically predicting his own death.
Very few people can be enhanced like that
and
not pay the price and like Sly Stallone. I don't know how that dude
HGH baby,
but at that age and being as jacked as he does, and you know that's not natural, it's like, but that guy just keeps on.
Feel like in this, we haven't seen him without a shirt on in a while.
I think so. We're about to.
You think so? I don't know. Well maybe
he's got another Rambo movie coming
out. But he wore an overshirt in that last one.
Oh, gotcha.
Like he was like covered because he has those tattoos now.
Yeah.
And just like, John Rambo doesn't have any tattoos. What are you doing? Like, you got like half sleeves on each side. You got your chest tattooed. Dude, what are you doing?
I mean, I think it's great. I'm glad he's still around and everything. But to like the Warrior, it's like, you know, you can't abuse your body like that. And
when you can tie armbands and all of a sudden your veins have veins on top of
veins. Yes, his vein. Yeah.
That ain't normal.
I mean, that ain't okay. Yeah. So anyway, so that's Angel Has Fallen. number three, Good Boys. So good to see that one around with $5.2 million, a 45% drop. $66.6 million on that one on a $20 million budget. So good for that little one. $15 million overseas. So
wow, that's pretty good.
Translated into some overseas comedy there. So almost 80 on a 20 worldwide. The Lion King. I feel like that's about out on Blu-ray, but it's in 8 weeks, so you know it's going
to
be coming out
before
too long.
Soon.
Probably within the next month or so. $4.3 million is a 38% drop in week 8. $529 million domestic, $1 billion plus overseas. We're at 1.595, just call it 1.6 billion.
That's crazy pants.
I mean, someone was right there. I mean, you know, they caused a lot of
controversy.
They
were right about Aladdin too, from a money standpoint.
Buzz around it and a lot of negative talk online, but it just goes to prove that loud chatter doesn't always mean
no.
You know.
What so what's next for them live action wise?
Well, the Disney Plus stuff.
Yeah, I don't really count that like in theaters.
Live action? I'm
Maleficent.
Not sure.
Maleficent's
this year, and then Mulan. Lady and the Tramp will be Disney Plus. And then I know Frozen 2, but that's animated.
Right.
So
I thought that Disney Plus Anna Kendrick is Santa's sister movie looked really cute.
Of course it did.
Yeah,
it's Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, it's Anna.
But I mean, I just like I thought, I'm like, this looks clever and different. Like
they're like, by the way, Hallmark, you know that thing that you do really poorly?
Yeah,
we're gonna do it really well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if it can beat Kurt Russell's Santa Claus.
Nothing's gonna beat that.
Still love that movie.
No, they're making another one.
I'm gonna watch that again this Christmas.
That's great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
so fun. They are making it a sequel to that. Of course.
How can they not?
Goldie Hawn is Mrs. Claus.
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
Great.
Is that a spoiler for the Kurt Russell
we
Santa Claus?
We did an
Claus?
Episode on that.
Yeah,
they're fine.
So.
Yeah, the Santa. Not the. What was it called?
I don't
called
even
Santa
know
Claus?
What it was called. No, but I don't know. Santa Claus Experience. I can't even remember what it's called.
Escape from
Witch
North
Mount?
Pole.
whatever it's called. It was
Call
good,
me
so.
Claus.
Call me Santa.
Call me Santa.
So that's making all the money over there at Lion King for Disney. Overcomer.
Excuse
be careful
you.
How you spell that. Yeah, $3.5 million is a 38% drop, so that's up to $24.4 million domestic on a $5 million budget.
What
so
the hell is that?
That's well, what the heck is that?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Remember that? Gotcha. That's a Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick directed and produced that movie.
Anna's like, remember, I'm not related.
The Kendrick family. So that was a coincidental.
Yeah, right,
segue.
Right.
Number six, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, still plugging along here. 3.3 million, a 49% drop. Lots of small drops on these. That's in week six with $163.8 million domestic, $555.5 million overseas, $716.9, about $717 million on a 200. So
officially the highest grossing non-Marvel, non-super, non-Disney, non-superhero movie of the summer, of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
The Rock just, he posted, yeah, The Rock retweeted something. He said,
he's really trying to narrow down that criteria.
He did a little bit, but I think the line was, some of you jokers are playing checkers while we're playing chess.
Okay, Rock.
And I was like, he's taking a shot at Tyrese.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's all that was.
Tyrese has a movie coming out.
Does he?
Tyrese is probably playing like Connect Four.
He's playing Kids Monopoly. So anyway, well, good for The Rock. I know he really is hurting in the money department.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's got another hit under his belt finally. Coming in at number seven, Ready or Not. Here's the title of the next movie, Ready or Not, with $2.3 million, a 61% drop, $25 million, 25.7 in week three, another 9.9 overseas. So yeah, we're approaching the $40 million on a $6 million. So
apparently in France it's called The Wedding Party.
Oh.
Like, it's not called Ready or Not.
Is it something in French or is it
no,
in
it's
English?
No, like, it's in English, The Wedding Party.
Huh. I wonder if they don't, like, play Ready or Not there or something. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe.
It doesn't have cultural.
I feel like hide and seek is across the globe.
Like, I'm surprised. I don't, maybe it is in some markets, but I'm like, how did they not call it hide and seek in certain territories?
Like, I think there's a movie called Hide and Seek.
There must be, but yeah. I just wondered in different territories, like, because you think that would be the.
You would think.
Yeah. I but like Ready or Not, but it's just hide and seek. It's like that's the name of the game and on the card, so you would think that it would be.
Right.
But
no,
yeah.
I think there is.
Yeah,
there
has to Robert be. De Niro and Dakota Fanning.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
2005.
Oh, well, all right.
Missed maybe. That one. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of Robert De Niro movies I missed past 1999.
So anyway, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood still making money, $2.2 million, 47% drop in week seven. So positive word of mouth there and Oscar buzz talks.
For who? For the movie itself.
Everybody.
Yeah, the movie, yeah, DiCaprio, Pitt.
Can we get
this movie was
Robbie?
Built in a lab to win Oscars. Like,
it's a movie about Hollywood. That's
yeah, I mean, first
are.
Off,
oh,
Hollywood
true.
Loves movies about Hollywood.
Right.
You know.
$134 million domestic and another 150. So we're up approaching $300 million on the $90 million mark.
Man.
It's making money. Not quite Django money yet, though. I don't know if it's good. I mean,
it may not.
Over $400.
And it was a very expensive movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's even though it's doing good box office, it was not an inexpensive undertaking.
No.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, but so still continuing the success there. Another little movie that people need to see that's finally in wide release, The Peanut Butter Falcon.
I keep
with
hearing
Shia
about
LaBeouf.
It. Yeah. Did he direct this?
No.
He
just
directed
something,
though, right?
He's got one he directed
well,
coming out, though.
Honey
yeah.
Boy
is that what
the
is?
Movie he wrote and stars in. He
got
plays
it.
His father. It's not. They're not using his name, but it's based
he's
on
he's playing
his
own father?
Yes.
Got it.
He's
got
playing
it, got
a
got
character
it.
Based on Shia LaBeouf's father.
Do they talk about Transformers?
I think they do. They there's
oh.
it's who's the kid from Lucas Hedges is playing Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, the kid from Goosebumps.
Well,
and
he
13
was in,
Reasons Why.
I don't know about that. He was in Three Billboards. He was in Lady Bird.
Oh.
He's
yeah,
the indie darling. He was in that Ben. Which one is it? Ben is back or
Ben Tramer?
My boy, Ben, my boy, or whatever. He's an
Boy
indie
Erased.
Darling. Boy Erased, I think is the one. Yeah,
yeah
they're all those Ben is back. Boy Erased.
Yeah.
But he's an indie darling. He's in a lot of art house
got
movies.
It, got it, got it,
but
got it.
I believe he is playing the Shia LaBeouf character, and then Shia plays the stand-in for his father. And so it's about a young kid coming up in Hollywood and all that. Looks amazing. Sounds amazing. I'm excited
it's
for
it's
been
that. Getting really good reviews.
Yeah. And, it's been at the film festivals. But Peanut Butter Falcon is amazing. You know, it stars a guy named Zach, and he has Down syndrome in real life. And he's the main character. The directors wrote the movie for him. They had met him a years earlier and made friends with him at like an acting camp that has people with and without disabilities. And they became friends, and he was in some little short films and everything. And he said, I guess they were talking to him about you know, I want to be a movie star. And they're just being realistic. Like in Hollywood, like there probably aren't a lot of roles that you're going to be the star of a big Hollywood film. And he said, well, why don't you write one for me? And so the directors, the directors who I interviewed, they were great. The reviews.
He was looking for a big budget reboot of Life Goes On.
Yeah. But I interviewed the director, the writer directors on ReviewSTL.com. So you can go read that interview. But the movie is just heartwarming. It's funny. It's so well done. And I mean, these guys, they're enjoying a lot of success, I think, critically with this movie. And you're gonna be hearing a lot from these guys. But they're very talented. I mean, they wrote and directed this thing. They got Shia LaBeouf, Dakota Fanning, Thomas Hayden Church. The cast list is crazy. Bruce Dern is in it. It's Jake the Snake and Mick Foley are the wrestlers in the movie.
Wait, do they wrestle?
No. Well, okay, good. Some of them do.
Oh, yeah. Does Jake the Snake and Mick Foley wrestle?
You'll see the movie.
Yikes.
But the premise of the story is that Zach, he lives in a nursing home because that's where the state put him. He doesn't have any family to take care of him. And so he's there with Bruce Dern as his roommate. And so he's watching these videos of this wrestler called the Saltwater Redneck, played by Thomas Hayden Church.
Okay.
And he wants to go to the Saltwater Rednecks Wrestling Academy.
Okay.
And so he runs away to go to the academy. Shia LaBeouf is a fisherman that's like this, like a dirt poor fisherman, and he's having a lot of trouble in his life, and so he's on the run, and the two of them meet up and form an unlikely friendship. Dakota Fanning is kind of in charge of the nursing home, and she has to go find Zach and make sure he's okay. So it's a really sweet adventure. Like, their friendship is sweet. It's a very it's a refreshing movie. It's like it's kind of like a Mark Twain adventure. It's like a Tom Sawyer type of fairy tale adventure. But yeah, I mean, the lead character, Zach, is really good. The actor is great. And I mean, it just shows you that, I mean, he has Down syndrome, but he's now the star of this movie, getting all these accolades. Like,
well, we talked about it. I mean, this is where we are. It's like, you can't write that role and not cast somebody that has the affliction, I guess, the disease. Is it a disease?
I don't think it's a disease. What is it, probably a syndrome? Yeah.
That's, I don't well, yeah,
it's
say
literally, it's literally that disability. Called Down syndrome.
I guess it's true. Yeah, it's in the diagnosis.
Right. Yeah. It's right there.
It's a disability is what you're looking for.
Thank you. Yes.
But they, so when they were shopping this around, I learned from my interview that, the producers that they talked to at first wanted to cast a star in the role. Like, and they're like, I mean, they wrote it for Zach and they knew he'd do great. And watch this movie. I mean, he does fantastic. And so they just kept
passing. I think in today's world, you probably have a hard time getting a star to take the role.
That's probably true.
Except for Scarlett Johansson. Yeah.
God, what an idiot.
She can play anything.
What is she doing?
Who knows at this point? Yeah, I would love to work with Woody Allen at any time. But
yeah, I believe he's innocent.
But I mean, that's neither here nor there. Go see the Peanut Butter Falcon. Support movies like this, first of all. These art house movies. I mean, there's an all-star cast. It's a heartwarming movie. It's one of my favorites of the year, honestly. I'm so glad I got to talk to these guys because I know their career is going to blow up. These guys,
sure.
Tyler Nilsson and Mike Schwartz are the two directors and writers.
Somebody's going to pick them up to do the next Spider-Man movie.
What's that?
So somebody's going to pick them up to do the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, after
Webb.
Yeah, after I don't know. I can't remember who you thought it was at first.
John Waters.
John Waters. The John Waters Spider-Man movie.
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I mean, yeah. Who wouldn't watch the John Waters Spider-Man movie? They'd probably get the guy from the old TV show to come be Spider-Man.
I like it.
He's in a suit. You know, you can't tell.
You can't tell.
So, yeah, go see this movie. It is absolutely delightful. Such a great time. So, The Peanut Butter Falcon. And it's one of those that, like, it's going to be out for a couple weeks, but you know it's not going to play that long. Like, people need to go see this movie. It's, you know, it's number 9, which is awesome against all these other big movies, but you know it can't stay there forever.
Sure.
So, but this made $12 million. I don't even have a budget on here, but I know it was not.
Sure. A movie like this, it's a passion project.
You know the actors are donating a lot of their time or just taking a back-end deal or something.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it's made $12 million is awesome, and there's a reason for it. So go support art house and independent cinema. It's fantastic. And rounding out the top 10, you'll be delighted to know that Dora and the Lost City of Gold, good thing we covered it because it's
we bumped it up.
Right.
All those listeners, had to go out and, I mean, they can't listen without seeing it. They don't want to be spoiled. So number 10 with $2 million, it's a 51% drop. Dora is now at $53.9 million domestic. And pause here because
end of summer.
I didn't check to see if it officially has. Yeah, it is. Let me see here. I didn't check to see if it had any overseas because I just didn't.
Assumed it didn't.
Let's see.
It did.
It has $28.2 million overseas.
All of it from Peru.
There you go. So, and that's on a $49 million budget. So right now it's...
Man, that's a lot. That's a big budget.
It's over 80 on a 50, so it's probably just about making its money back. Man, I go listen to that episode. It was a surprise. I don't want to spoil too much, but...
It was cute. It was a lot of. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was better than it should have been.
Yeah,
yeah. You'd be surprised if you watch the movie. Like, I mean, at some point, especially if you have kids, give it a chance. I mean, it's one of those movies that kids and adults both can enjoy.
Yeah,
one of those delights that you won't be like, oh, when's this crap over? So,
right.
Anyway, but that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join our group called the League of Show Sharers, and you can also share an episode. We would appreciate that as well. And you can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers. If there's anything we appreciate more than sharing an episode, it's giving us $5. So five bucks a month, you get bonus content and the pride of supporting an indie podcast in the same way that you could support Peanut Butter Falcon.
It's hard, easy to say.
I support know.
The Peanut Butter Podcast.
Right. So,
you know, there's
we will do an episode on Peanut Butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I love Peanut Butter.
Yeah,
we can try a different jar every, you know.
The whole hour.
No, just don't do organic scoops. Peanut butter. That stuff's
the
gross.
Kind like,
you get like the weird oil on top.
Oh, no.
When I was eating...
Put chemicals in food for a reason, people.
When I was in college and I was eating like really clean and healthy, I got that and it would taste really good for like the first spoonful. And then like the
oil would fall apart.
You would eat all the oil that you mixed on the top part, and then the bottom half would just be dry. None of the oil could mix down to the bottom unless you had some industrial mixer. You know, with a spoon, you get the top part.
Just
or whatever.
You get that Peter Pan, you're good to go.
Yeah, so it's like you would just leave this. You'd have this dry, crusty peanut butter that
gross.
Was so yeah. It's like, switched back to
can't
Jeff.
Even, can't even spread it on a piece of bread. I was going to say paper. Wow. I was say paper. And I was like, that's not right.
No.
Yeah. No.
You don't do
I would never
so,
spread my peanut butter on paper. No.
So anyway, that's somehow our Patreon plug turned into a peanut butter discussion. But
well, we're working on our new spinoff podcast.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up with the next one, we will tackle It Chapter 2. Until then, you've been warned.
I've missed you.
We didn't stop it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.